So I want to talk a little bit about the past year. I've been the president now for 2 years. We will have election later today. I plan on running again. And it has been an interesting past year, to say the least. Certainly not the year I expected. I believe in the beginning of the year, in January, I had read some articles about a possible virus on the horizon, and I don't know what I really thought. I read a little bit about what some countries were considering locking down and stuff, and I couldn't really wrap my head around it. We had our first two meetings, the Anchorage chapter. In 2019, the Anchorage chapter lost a few members to moves out of state and so forth, and to other locations in Alaska. And our president had passed away. It was time for our election anyway. So we had an election. There were very few people there. The chapter seemed to have shrunk a bit, and I was elected again. I had been the president for a number of years before that. Though it wasn't my preference in terms of I like spreading this opportunity. Our acting president, after the death of our chapter president, was not interested in continuing as president. So I felt it was important that I step up and go ahead and do that again. So we had our first two chapter meetings. The first chapter was the election. March came around. It was Friday the 13th, actually. And I was planning our meeting, thinking more about how we were going to conduct it. But I kept getting these flashes of news about lockdowns and more cases of COVID being reported. And I was having hesitation thoughts about having a meeting. And as I was doing that and trying to do my work as well, an email came from President Riccobono. We need to cancel meetings or consider canceling meetings, that we needed to think very carefully about having our meetings. I felt relief. I just felt like, okay, I feel like I need to cancel this. So I immediately called everyone who had mostly been participating, and I sent an email and said, we are not going to have our meeting. A week later, the mayor of Anchorage put us into what we called hunker down mode, is what how he phrased it. So hunker down mode meant that everything was closed. About 3 days before that happened, I felt like I needed to go home and work from home. So on a Thursday, that was my last day. On Friday, I was at home, and it was different. We have four in our house, and we are so blessed to have four in our house. I know there are many people with just one person, and I have talked to several people, and I feel their pain and loneliness sometimes because they can't personally interact with others. We have animals and people at my house that bring me a lot of joy. And I think for each of us in my home, we've definitely been grumpy with each other, but we've also experienced so much joy being here. So we had to think about what we were going to do. We didn't do a meeting for March, I must say. In April, I know the board met. We did it on Zoom. And the funny thing is, we had purchased our Zoom license in February. In February, also, we did participate in Washington seminar. William Craig, who was on our board from Sitka, and Linda Newman from Juneau, and I did go to Washington, D.C. We met with Senator Murkowski and Senator Sullivan and Congressman Young. And Anil has talked about some of the issues that we took to Washington seminar. We did our best to share those messages with them. I think they all sponsored the ATAA Act. That was a good experience. Frankly, that's the last time I've left Alaska, and I'm sure there are probably people who haven't left it's been longer than that. And I know that many Alaskans rarely ever leave because it is so expensive. We began having our meetings. We changed the time to Saturday afternoon. We changed the format. Instead of having chapters meet, we decided, because we only were down to one chapter, the Anchorage chapter, we decided to just have what we called and what we've been calling an all-state meeting. We've done fun things like a spelling meeting where we took some words and had a contest to see how many words we could make out of the two words. And it was quite fun. I never realized it could be so fun. We even had a couple people from out of state join us. We had Katie and Pam, two women from Kenai, who have participated in all of our chapter meetings, just gung-ho. And we've also advertised on our email list. We have a new Alaska email list. We prepared for national convention, And we had 20 people sign up, and it was a great experience. I think it was certainly a great experience for me. And when we had our caucus meeting, several people expressed what a great meeting they felt it was, and the things that they learned. We talked about that, what people were learning, and the different events that they went to during convention. Since then, we've had a couple meetings, well, mostly planning. Well, we had a meeting in September, I believe, but we did not have a meeting in October because of convention. As I look at the future for Alaska, I'm looking forward to the day when we will be able to have all of us in chapters again. I anticipate having our chapter in Anchorage increase in numbers. It would be really cool. We used to have times when we would have 15 participants. It would be really cool to get up to 15 again, and even 20. I would love to see a chapter in the Kenai area, on the peninsula. We could call it the Peninsula Chapter. Because everyone is so spread apart there, we would likely continue to have it on Zoom for sure. It would be wonderful to see a Southeast chapter that could include Juneau and Sitka, Ketchikan, Skagway, some of those places that in that area. And then a Northern chapter to include Fairbanks. And then an at-large chapter to include the Aleutian Islands. Brian Blair is in Glen Allen. I could see us having an at-large chapter with leaders from around the state who have joined the NFB and are anxious to share the message and continue with our movement. As you know, we now have a student scholarship fund. I hope that by next October, we will be able to give two $500 scholarships deserving college-bound individuals from Alaska who are seeking to further their education. Also, we have been focused on voting and trying to make sure that people can vote and do vote. Another thing that, of course, you heard yesterday that we are focusing on is Newsline. And I really appreciated the presentations that we had yesterday. I especially so grateful for those who participated in sharing their experiences with Newsline. It is really a useful and exceptional tool that we need to have in Alaska. We will have a presentation from Luann Blake from the NFB, from our national office, talking about voting this afternoon. So we're gonna keep pushing along on that. By the next presidential election, I hope that we can see the changes that I believe that Alaska needs to make to make voting truly accessible for everyone. I think our state has come a long way. And in fact, I know that it has. But there are still some pieces of the voting experience that need to be improved. I just want to share a little bit about my own life and how I became involved in the NFB and why I feel it is so important. I have been blind all my life. I attended a blind school in California, the state blind school, where I learned a lot of skills that prepared me for adulthood. I learned things like cooking, doing crafts. I did sports. I was the student body president of this little blind school when I was in eighth grade. Then I was able to go on to public high school where things were not accessible. I had readers then. And in college, I mostly had readers and used a cassette tape recorder for my bachelor's degree and my master's degree. But I was not interested in joining the NFB because in my mind, it was a militant organization. Those were the words that people used back then. They were the people who protested and said that blind people weren't being treated right. And I thought, I'm pretty good. I went to school. I got my undergraduate degree. I got my master's degree. I'm good. I mean, yeah, it took me 14 months to find a job. And yeah, I sent out 70 letters and not one person had a job for me. I only got 5 back. I mean, I told them I was blind, but I was really good at what I did. And I only got 5 back. So, you know, maybe that's true, but oh well, I'm still pretty good. And then I got married and I had children and yeah, why would I need the NFB? When I got it was actually my second job. My first job was typing, doing medical transcription work. And I had to go back to school to get some degrees to do that. And I had to volunteer for a while and it wasn't easy to get that job. And once I got it, I still had to have a supervisor correct all my work because computers weren't around. And the second job, I was hired to conduct job club training. It was a new program that was bought by the state of Kansas. And my job was to teach this class with a coworker. Before we started learning how to teach, the company in Chicago that they bought this program from came to teach the teachers. And I had a question about teaching. I have no idea what my question was. But we were all gathered together in this big room with, it seems like it had bleachers. As I was sitting there ready to ask this question, I was a little nervous. I felt really small and scared, but I stood up and I asked my question, and the gentleman said to me, "I'm not sure why they hired you. I don't know how a blind person is going to be able to do this job." And I was devastated. Of course, I didn't have the NFB. I could have used some NFB wisdom at that point, because I certainly did not feel that I was important, that I was capable. I just kind of bumbled and tried not to cry. And I said, "Well, I hope to prove you wrong before all is said and done." And then I sat down. I guess the important part was, I suppose my employer wondered also, because nobody said anything. My employer did not say, "Well, we hired her because we think she can, we know she can do it." No, that did not happen. But I'm going to tell you, you could have heard a mouse take a breath. It was so quiet. And that's even smaller than a pin drop, right? That's how quiet it was. So there I was, totally on show and very, very embarrassed and very hurt, and wondering if I would be able to do the job. I was able to do the job, and I feel I did a pretty good job at it. They actually got my material Braille, so that was cool. VR got me a Braille writer to have at work. I made calls. I kept numbers. I did everything I was supposed to do. I taught every day for financial recipients of the state. Years later, I had a blind child, and I moved to another state. We left Kansas. We moved to Utah, and I met a gentleman by the name of Norm Gardner, because I had a technology question. I was trying to figure out ways to get my daughter some materials, or me some materials. It was an unusual book, and it wasn't in Braille, of course. It wasn't on tape. So I wondered if there was a way to get it on the computer. I was trying to learn how to use the computer. I wasn't a VR client at that time. He talked to me about the NFB, and I said, "Well, I don't want to join that organization. They're militant." And he said, "Who told you that?" And I said, "Well, it's kind of understood, right?" And he said, "I want you to read a book. It's called Walking Alone, Marching Together." So I read that book. And Kenneth Jernigan, who was our president before Mark Maurer, it covered a lot of his speeches. And as I listened, I was like, wow, what is wrong with me? This stuff is what I kind of been thinking, but didn't know how to express. And I started going to meetings. My first convention was in 2005. That is where I heard Anil speak, I believe. Maybe it was the next year, I don't know. But I was like blown away with the things I was learning. I realized that I had been selling myself short for a very long time. I had been saying I couldn't do things that I really could do. I had decided at some point when my older children were little that I wasn't going to use a cane, because I really didn't like being blind. And so why would I want to use a cane? I'm embarrassed to say that I would walk with my older children when they were 5 and 6, and they would basically be taking mom places. I didn't have a cane. I wasn't using a cane. I still look back and I go, what the heck was I thinking? So when I started going to NFB meetings, I realized that I had not done myself any favors by not using a cane, by not accepting my blindness, by not realizing that it's respectable to be blind. And I wanted to change that. And sad for my two older children, I hope that they remember the new mom and not the old mom. I want you all to know that this organization has changed my life so much that I have sought to change the life, help others change their lives, to give to others in the way that so many people gave to me. At some point, we all need to claim our blindness, and we need to recognize that it is respectable to be blind. When we do that, we can adjust to being blind. We can learn the skills we need. We can take part in our communities in a more meaningful way. Before I learned these truths, I would often be asked to give presentations. All my life, I've been someone that people would say, "Oh, will you talk to us?" And oftentimes it was at church, and they'd say things, "Would you talk to us about your adversities?" And so before I had the NFB, I would give these frankly horrible talks about how hard it was. And yet I knew that someday after the resurrection, I wouldn't be blind anymore. But right now it's so hard, and I did things slower, but thankfully I have friends to help. And oh my goodness, I think of those talks and they're just horrible. after I joined the NFB, my presentations changed. I talked about how it is respectable to be blind and how, as a blind person, we learn skills and alternative techniques that allow us to do what our friends and our sighted peers can do. We learn that when we have the skills, we can participate in anything we want. Yes, some things are harder than others. Yes, we have to make things accessible. But if we feel that that's impossible, then we are stuck and we will be doing what I was doing so many years ago. And I don't want that for any of us. I want us to realize that we are people just like our neighbors, with love, hope, and determination, with seeing each other as family members, with including our sighted friends and loved ones who see us as equals, as their peers, as their friends. That is how we are going to enrich our lives. We are going to learn new skills and be able to truly live the lives that we want. I thank you for allowing me to serve in the past 2 years as the president of this affiliate. I hope that you will always come to me. I appreciate everyone who I've come in contact with, everyone who I've helped to get on calls and called for this or that and just been friends with. Thank you from the bottom of my heart for your friendship. I'm going to end right there. Thank you.